How many dentists out there truly care about your whole body health? When you've had a new patient visit, does your dentist do a posture exam, blood pressure test, a tongue exercise review, along with an ultra magnification examination of your teeth and gums? Regretfully, the answer is probably not. And that's why Dr. Shoup finds issues that most dentists will never see.
They noted nothing in the last cleaning other than just the cleaning. And now you brought up even another issue that you showed me on the photographs, that there is a line in the gum line of the enamel on the teeth that are holding and supporting the bridge that have decayed to them. I didn't know that. That was never discussed with me. That was never pointed out with me. And that was the kind of concerns intuitively I was just not feeling comfortable with. And I knew there had to be some other issues. I needed a fresh opinion.
Hear how dentistry is done differently at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup right now on the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to spend another hour with me. This is where you go. You're going to learn things you're never going to learn anywhere else. You're going to be armed with so much information so that you can make really high-quality decisions for you and your family for the rest of your life in terms of your health. This is what we're all about. You live a long, happy, healthy life. That's what we do here. And if you are a veteran of the program, you know how it works. We start out in dental school. We walk down the hall. We hold hands. We take our seat in class. And today, bite me. No, not that kind. It's not an insult. But is your bite correct? And the chances are it's not. If you have had a lot of dental work done, if you have had crowns, the likelihood is your bite is not really lined up the way it should be. I'm going to give you some quick tips on how you can tell if your bite is correct or not, and I'm going to give you a really, really great solution that we have at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup for determining what truly is your proper, correct bite position, because it makes all the difference in the world. And in Ask the Expert, it is something that is so common, you probably have some of this right now. You probably throw this stuff away on a regular basis. And you probably don't even use it for one-tenth of the things that it's designed to be used for. What is it? I'll tell you. Now you have to determine what you think it is. And you get to meet my buddy Bill. Now, it's so common for folks to listen to the program or listen to the radio ads time after time after time, and they think, well, that's interesting, that's nice, there's the weird dentist guy on the radio, but they just kind of log it away and don't do anything. Until the dentist presents to the patient, who has been listening to the ads, a sizable bill for a lot of crowns. And that's what happened to this bill. He got a bill for a bunch of crowns and decided maybe he ought to go talk to the weird guy on the radio. And he did, and he will tell you, probably one of the best things he's ever done. You want to hear this story. It's great. But first, are you boring? Would people say you're boring? Well, so what if I'm boring? It actually makes a big difference in how you're going to interact with the world. And this is because there's a new scientific study that proves all of it. I'm going to tell you about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Well, I will confess that of all the things that have happened to me, transpired with me, I've experienced in my life, I can honestly say I can't believe anyone has ever considered me boring. They've considered me a lot of things, but boring has never been one of them. It's always been kind of an amazing thing on what is the whole perception about whether someone is boring. Now, in the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin, I'm sure you have your copy on the coffee table right now, there is an article called Boring People, Stereotype Characteristics, Interpersonal Attributions, and Social Reactions. Fancy words for saying, are there indeed boring people? If there are indeed boring people, what are their characteristics? And if there are characteristics, then what is the social reaction and what is the consequence of being boring? Yes, there is a consequence for being boring. Listen to this. Unfortunately, some people are perceived as boring. Despite the potential relevance that these perceptions might have in everyday life, the underlying psychological processes and consequences of perceiving a person as boring have been largely unexplored. I love this quotation. Perhaps the world's second worst crime is boredom. The first is being a bore. So you have to realize, think about the words and word derivatives and so forth in our language. You can be boring, and you can be bored, and you can be a bore. And so the results of their study indicate that stereotypically, boring people are characterized by negative egocentrism in their interactions. In other words, they don't have anything to say. Lack of interest in other persons' contributions and constant complaining. If you're boring, you're constantly complaining. And the banality of interest in a single topic, only repeating jokes you've already heard. They talked less and shared relatively little subjective information. These folks are boring. So what about it? The second line of research they did examines boredom in romantic couples. Here's where you start to get left out. They asked married and dating couples to describe what it meant to be bored in a romantic relationship, rated on their prototypically by a second sample and served as items for a relational boredom scale. Fancy way of saying they actually had the ability to rank how boring their relationship is. Stereotypically, here's the bottom line. Boring people are genuinely disliked. Now, this is a scientific article. They usually don't throw a bunch of hyperbole in unless it really deserves it. This must have really deserved it. People who possess stereotypically boring features are perceived as both less interpersonally warm and less, here we go, ding, 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 this is why it matters, less competent. And they elicit social avoidance by others. So if you're boring, nobody wants to hang out with you. Coming across as boring is thus rooted in stereotypes that people hold, which are likely to materialize in social repercussions. In other words, you're not going to get hired. You're not going to get promoted. You're not going to get asked out on a date. You're not going to get invited to a party. You're going to be able to be bored all by yourself. So there is that. You are a boring person. Why inflict this on others? That's all there is to it. Now, up next, how are those choppers of yours fitting together? Gnash, gnash, chomp, chomp, bite, bite. I'm going to give you some really cool ways you can figure it out for yourself right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. This is where you hear about how dental patient disasters caused by other dentists are turned around with successful Dr. Shoup procedures, leading to long-lasting whole mouth health stories. Plus, the doc is providing you the absolute latest insider industry info for biomimetic dentistry best practices. This is Dental School 101 on the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I always am honored when you decide to spend time with me. I think that is a really important aspect of what we do together because I take that responsibility very seriously in wanting to bring you really, really good quality information. So, to that end today, there seems to have been, up in my office, an absolute tsunami of folks coming to me with a variety of issues, all stemming from kind of the genesis of it all is the fact that over time, over the years, over their dental involvement, things have been done, one thing here, two things there, couple things down there, one more thing up there. Well, this broke, I'm going to fix that. This patchwork of dentistry that has left them with a bite that is not even anywhere close to where Mother Nature really designed the bite to be. You have to think about your biting process as, I tell people, it's like the alignment on your car, okay? Your jaw joints up there right in front of your ear is like the alignment for your car. The teeth would be analogous to the tires on your car. If your alignment is so far out of whack, your car is going to drive down the road funny, the steering wheel is going to wobble back and forth, and you're going to wear out your tires in just in a matter of months. So you're not going to get any sort of longevity out of them. Not until you fix the alignment, can you then remedy those other problems? If you fix the alignment, the other problems, shaking steering wheel, wandering around the road, worn out tires, those things magically get better. Human dentition the same way. If the jaw joints, the two temporomandibular joints, the things when you open and close, they roll around in front of your ear. If those two joints aren't seated up in their socket, and it is a ball and socket joint, kind of like your shoulder, kind of like your elbow to some degree, kind of like your hip in many regards, but the temporomandibular joint, your jaw joint, is the most complex single joint system in your body. It's more complex than your ankles, than your knees, than your hips, than your elbows, than your shoulders, than your wrist. It does more movements, has more components than any other joint. Little factoid that you might hang on to. So, how do you tell if the jaw joints are not lined up square with the teeth? Here is a list of things you can run through your own little analysis and you tell me. A, you have jaw pain. It's so, so common. The jaws will actually become sore as you push on them, as you open and close, put any pressure around the jaw joints, and it'll give you a wincing kind of sharp pain. When you let off of the pressure, the pain goes away. Another thing that is a dead giveaway is that your teeth are actually moving. Your teeth are drifting. The bottom teeth are drifting forward. Your upper teeth are flaring out. And another dead giveaway, you are developing gaps between your teeth. You're packing food between your teeth where you didn't before. You're always looking for a toothpick to dig stuff out between your teeth because the teeth are literally being pushed and shoved in a direction that they really don't want to go. You look at your teeth and they are as flat as a pool table. You have really severe, excessive wear on the top surfaces of your teeth. Mother Nature's pretty darn sharp. and Mother Nature can figure things out. And there is a pretty decent school of thought that says, look, Mother Nature knows that these jaw joints aren't seated where they are. As you bite up and down, your teeth can sense where they're hitting, and your brain can put all those things together, and your brain says, you know, if I were to just flatten off some of these areas, everything would fit together better. So your body takes up grinding your teeth in an effort to try to flatten out some of the bumps and the defects in your teeth to get the bite to fit harmoniously with the jaw joints, because that is our goal. When your jaw joints are up and operating exactly smoothly in the joint, your teeth come together. I tell people, it's like that screen door on the back porch of your house, in that when you would open the door, and to get the door to go back closed again, you had to hold the handle and then lift up on the door. Otherwise, it would bang against the jamb and not close all the way. The hinges on the door are your jaw joints. And how the jaw closes is where your teeth are. And so if you have to jack up your jaw joint to get your teeth to fit together to in order to close the door, you'll ultimately wear out the hinges, that's your jaw joints, and the hinges got sloppy, and so do your jaw joints. You don't chew as well as you used to. It's harder for you to chew up food. It's more difficult to break stuff up and effectively grind your teeth so that you can swallow correctly. And you need a lot of dental work. And that's the number one thing that you should think about. If somebody is proposing a lot of dental work for you, then you have to ask yourself the question, are they addressing the jaw joints? Why do I need all this dental work? Why are my teeth deteriorating? Why are they eroding away at the gum line? Why do I have notches on all of my teeth at the gum line? You have to ask that question. What is the best way to determine where should my jaw joints be? And that is with a little gadget that has been around forever. It's called a neuromuscular deprogrammer. Used to be called what's called a Lucia, L-U-C-I-A, Lucia jig, J-I-G. And then there's a pretty prominent dentist out on the West Coast in Seattle. His name is Dr. John Coyce, and he took the concept, added some bells and whistles to it, and pretty much everybody now calls it a Coyce positioner. That's fine. I'll pay homage to John. He's a nice guy. I know him. He's a great guy. He's a great dentist. Cuts too many crowns, but he's still a great dentist. I like him. So anyway, we use these Coyce positioners in microscope dentistry by Shoup to help patients find out where is your proper jaw position. Here's what they do. We custom make these for each patient. There's no one size fits all. They're individually made and they fit on behind your upper front teeth. And hanging down below the level of your upper front teeth is a flat plane of plastic. When you bite together, the only teeth in your mouth that touch this Coyce positioner are the two lower central incisors. Not another tooth in your head touches anything. They're all just floating in space on purpose, because all around the roots of your teeth are pressure sensors. The minute, right now, you can do it, the minute you bite your teeth together, those pressure sensors feel what you're doing, send a signal to your brain and goes, hey, I'm engaged, I'm biting. Your brain sends signals to your muscles and goes, here's what you need to do. That's why you can move your jaw to the right and tap your teeth together. You can move your jaw to the left, tap them together. You can slide your jaw forward, bite your front teeth end to end. The feeling that you get is all because of this biofeedback mechanism. We don't want that. We want none of that. We want all the muscles to stop, to shut off, to relax, because it's the muscles that pull your jaw joint out of gear so that your teeth can fit together. So we take the tooth fitting together out of the equation. So you wear these choice positioners for several days, and when you come back to the office, there's a special protocol we'll have you do to wear it back into the office. But this choice positioner will allow us to determine specifically where your proper tooth arrangement should be. We never rebuild anybody's bite unless we do this, because we never know, do we have it right or not? This way, we know we have it correct. Then, we can use biomimetic techniques and not cut your teeth down for crowns, do ultra-conservative restorations, because once we put these things in place, we know that they're harmonious with the way the jaw joints. We have your alignment spot on. So your car runs straight down the road. Your tires aren't wearing out. Your steering wheel doesn't shake and shimmy. Your car is not being torn up because it's out of alignment. The only time you want to do that is if you have that cool feature where you push a button and your all the tires of your vehicle with LeBron James in it crabs to one side. That would be kind of cool. You're not cool for teeth. So that's what you need to know about Bite Me. Is your bite okay? And if it's not, what do you look for? And how do you get it fixed so you don't continually tear up your teeth? Because you will. Uncle Randy can help you. This is why we're here. Now, up next, you have it. You could be using it for a whole lot of things that you're not using it for now. And you probably, 99% of the time, just throw it away. What is it? I'll tell you right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. It's kind of nice to have industry experts on demand.
Let me make one thing clear to you. I need professional help.
Your questions are welcome whenever you want to submit them. Like if you think of a question while you're eating breakfast or during your lunch hour, or even wake up at 3 a.m. with a burning question, go to ddsradio.com and ask your dental or whole body health questions. This is Ask the Expert on the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
So I'ma let go of things I can't control. Let it go. Let it go.
Well, it's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And this came to me in kind of a bit of a revelation. I was reading an article, and it was talking about this, some chemistry that I was working on. And I was thinking that they were describing the chemistry, and they were describing what it was doing and this sort of thing. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds a whole lot like what we're going to be talking about today. You have it in your house. You don't use it for nearly what all it could be used for. And the likelihood is you throw this stuff away with absolute disdain for keeping it around. Now, I'll tell you, this stuff was invented about 4,000 years ago by the Mesopotamians. We've talked about these folks. But these were some sharp folks back in the day. They were the originators, you and I talked about it, of how to survey, how to measure out land and property. They developed writing systems and mathematic systems. And they actually developed this particular product substance. I'm giving you some hints as we go. But let me give you a few of the things that this stuff is good for. And let's see if somewhere along the line you can raise your hand and go, ding, 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 I know the answer. This stuff is an amazing hangover cure. It also is a great weed killer. And If you want to put some of it in deviled eggs, it makes them absolutely delicious. If you have an upset stomach, you take a little bit of this. It helps calm an upset stomach. Any hints? Pickle juice. Absolutely, that's it. Pickle juice. You all have jars of pickles in your refrigerator right now. And there are, we're going to delineate them, a number. And this is not the entire list. There's a zillion. But I was looking at researching some electrolyte chemistry and wanted to figure out how can I do some things that I wanted to do from a holistic biomimetic sort of a thing. And I was thinking they were giving me these recipes for the various best electrolyte systems and so forth. And I went, that's pickle juice, for crying out loud. That's all the elements of pickle juice. So let's go through. And it is true. The Mesopotamians, 4,000 years ago, in an attempt to preserve food, mixed up this acidic brine solution. Now, why did they think of it? How did they come to it? Who knows? And they threw some cucumbers in this stuff to preserve the cucumbers so that they didn't have to eat them all immediately. They could eat some later. And when they took them out of the jar later, they turned into pickles, and they were delicious. And by golly, the Mesopotamian said, I think we've got something here. And so they've been around ever since. In my household, my father would drink pickle juice like it was grade A homogenized milk. This man would take a jar of pickles out of the fridge and chug the pickle juice. And my brother and I would just look at each other like, OMG, what is wrong with him? Loved the stuff. And so we'd go to get pickles out of the jar. They were all dehydrated and wrinkly because he'd sucked all the juice out of the jar. We couldn't get him to leave the stuff alone. But it is a great hangover cure. As a matter of fact, if you drink some pickle juice, if you've imbibed a little too much, take some pickle juice before you go to bed. It will help replenish your electrolytes. It'll help reduce down your likelihood of having a hangover. There are even things that you can get in a bar called a pickleback, pickle, B-A-C-K, pickleback, and it's a shot of pickle juice after you have a cocktail that has helped to keep all this stuff at bay. It does kill weeds. It's got vinegar and salt. You take pickle juice, pour it on a weed, that weed is done. So, yes, it'll kill weeds, and yes, you can drink it. Go figure. You can use pickle juice. Don't throw it away after you've eaten the last pickle. You can use it to pickle other stuff if you want to pickle. Onions, if you want to pickle, whatever you want to pickle, don't throw it away because it's perfectly good. It's a professionally designed brine that'll work fine. And it is indeed true. If you're making deviled eggs and you've got all the yolks in a bowl, take a tablespoon of pickle juice and put it in when mix it in with your yolks. Absolutely. Really, I love deviled eggs. I love deviled eggs. And so you do that, great deviled eggs. If you have an upset stomach, you can take a shot or two of pickle juice, and it tends to, because of the vinegar and because of the acidity and the pH, it tends to mediate and calm down an upset stomach. This is true. A lot of athletes will take a shot of pickle juice before and after a really strenuous workout because it's filled with electrolytes. Not only it's got sodium, it's got potassium, it's got magnesium, it's got calcium, it's got chloride. These acidic brines pull all these elements out of whatever they're brining, and it works great. So if you have muscle cramps, grab some pickle juice. Couple of tablespoons of pickle juice helps with muscle cramps. The vinegar in pickle juice actually will help with the sunburn. And if you have a particularly sunburned place, and it works actually easier, you know, they have pickles now that are what are called long cut. They're long and flat so that you can put them on sandwiches easier. If you have like a blistered place or sun poisoning or something like that, pull one of those flat pieces of pickle out and lay it on your skin for particularly focused soothing of all this stuff. If you've got PMS and it really kind of kicks you, a half a cup of pickle juice for 3 days prior to when you think you're going to start is, I've not done this personally, I can't attest to it, but I've been told it really does help. It's a brilliant antioxidant because it's filled with vitamin C and E. You can gargle with it and kill off the germs that create sore throats. It's good for heartburn and indigestion. It is loaded, pickle juice is loaded with lactobacillus. It's a fermentation process. And so if you want a good probiotic, a pro-gut health recipe, drink pickle juice. All you have to do. It'll also clean copper. Now, I just wanted to throw that in there as a reality check. It's because of the vinegar, because of the acidity, okay? So if you have a really, really badly tarnished up copper-bottomed pot or something like that or a skillet and you want to soak something, some paper towel, soak it in pickle juice and lay it on the copper, it will indeed eat the oxidation off of the bottom of a copper pot. And now I'm telling you to drink this stuff, okay? But I know what you're saying, but trust me on this. It'll be okay. If you need to melt ice on your windshield, you can pour pickle juice on your windshield. I'm not telling you that it's going to smell right, but that's it. If you are out having cocktails, have them make you a dirty martini. Has olives and olive juice, which is real similar to the pickle juice. There you go. And it is a brilliant marinade. You can take pickle juice and marinate chicken, beef, whatever you want. It works well. It tenderizes beef like crazy, gives it a little bit of extra salt into the mix. It is absolutely delicious. So there. Now, all you needed to know, everything you needed to know, more than you probably wanted to know about pickle juice. So don't throw the stuff away anymore. Hang in there and do it with a variety. Use it for a variety of different things. Accumulate it. Why not? Who cares? So if you have any questions, if you have any topics you want me to cover on the program, you know, I'm absolutely delighted to do it. Only thing you have to do is go to ddsradio.com and submit your questions. Give me the topics that you want me to research. I'm happy to do the heavy lifting. I'm happy to do all the research. Like I accidentally stumbled across this whole concept of pickle juice. And I will confess, now that I am older, yes, I drink pickle juice too. So, up next, you get to meet my good buddy Bill. He listened to the ads until his dentist said he needed a truck full of crowns. Then he called Uncle Randy. He'll tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. The man on the mic is a dental industry disruptor, innovator, educator, and he's your dental consumer caretaker.
His velvety voice and beautiful lyrics have moved many a generation.
This hour will change the way you think about dentistry. We're online at ddsradio.com. It's time to enter the no crown zone. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
it's good to have you here with everybody. Thank you very, very much. And you all know this is my favorite part of the program because I get to bring to you friends of mine from up at the office. And today we have a guy that has stumbled across a formula for making all of my dental team the happiest people on the planet. He brings them homemade food. Bill, how are you, buddy?
I couldn't be better if I was twins. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yeah, you came walking in with gifts of homemade. What's the kind of soup you make?
It's chicken gnocchi better than Olive Garden soup. Well, they tell me that it's better than Olive Garden's chicken gnocchi soup.
I'm not about to question you.
Well, it's... I like it. My wife likes it. My daughter likes it. And the girls at the office love it, they say.
Oh, yeah.
And so they treat me good, and I wanted to show them a little kindness, too.
Well, you're the best. Thank you very much. I think it's the best insurance policy in the world. You bring us food. By golly, we're going to treat you like you're the king of England. That's all there is to it. With one exception, we're not going to give you any crowns. And that's how you and I got together in the first place, isn't it?
It is. Well, I hear your advertisement all the time. And I never, to be quite honest with you, paid a whole lot of attention to it.
I get that a lot.
But I couldn't. I mean, you hear it over and over and over again. And I thought, well, I don't know if I would ever need anything like that until I started having trouble with some of my teeth, which I had filled several years ago. And those fillings started to fail. And I've just suffered with it for several years. And by, I just told my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to have to go get this checked out. Well, I've got a dental office that's literally about 5 or 6 minutes away from me.
Why, sure.
It's not that, it's a little closer than what you are to me, you know, hour and a half.
Yeah, I would say a lot closer.
Yeah, a little bit closer, yeah. And, but I went down there, and they told me that with what I had going on, that they was recommending crowns for all of my teeth. And then when I heard that, I thought, man, I don't know if I want to do something like that. Not to mention the fact it was astronomically expensive. And then it reminded me of all the advertisements that I kind of half listened to. And I thought, I am going to check that out. I remembered the name. And so
thank you.
I just researched you, looked you up, got your number, called up there, and the rest is pretty much history. Well, nobody else knows about this, but just this morning I got my first onlay and no crowns, got to keep all of my teeth, no extractions, replaced all my old failing fillings, that's hard to say, but replaced all of the fillings that were failing, and I feel like $1 million. I really do. And that was just this morning, and a couple hours later, I'm like a brand new man, got to keep all of my teeth. The craziest part about crowns is the one good part of your tooth that you got left, the outside, the enamel, they want to grind that off and cap it with something that doesn't even belong to you. And to me, that's just ridiculous, doesn't make any sense, and I think your method, hands down, blows the old ways out of the water.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And yes, it just seems to make perfect sense. Why grind away the good part of your tooth if you're just trying to fix the bad part? You actually, and this lets people know that it's the real deal. There's a monitor up on the wall in my office. Tell everybody what you were watching while I was working on your tooth.
Well, I'll just kind of give you a peek into my mind.
That's a scary thought.
It's a scary place up in there. But I noticed out of the corner of my eye when you started using that microscope. Well, for one thing, I've never seen anything like that anyway. And I could, out of the corner of my eye, I could see it. And I just started watching. And I was blown away by how precise that you're able to be and take take out all of the old filling, take my tooth down because I had a really deep crack in both of those teeth, but the one was really bad, and you were able, I was just really in awe of how precise that you could get just in just the one area and work in just the one area that needed it, take out all the bad filling, all of the bad teeth, all of the bad tooth, and leave all of the good tooth alone. And I was just blown away. And I've been shot with anesthetic before at other dentist's office and everything, and still the drilling just, it just kills you, you know? But not today. And I was just, I don't know, I hope that explains it well enough. But in my mind, I thought, I don't know if he knows that I can see this, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be seeing it, but it was so fascinating that I didn't want you to know that I could see it, so you just keep on going. And so I pulled a sneaky sneak on you there. But it was really fascinating to watch it.
No, it's fine. No, the monitor is up there primarily so that my assistant, Mercedes, she can watch and see what I'm seeing in the mouth so that she can help me better, because you're exactly right. I'm looking through a great big microscope, and so I'm able to ramp up the magnification, and with the biomimetic tools that I use, just do teeny, teeny, tiny things. And you couldn't do that without a microscope. There's no way that a dentist or any human being has the visual acuity to do it. Even if you wear loops, you can't do it. So, but no, it's perfectly fine. If you want to look up there and watch the monitor, it's actually designed for her, but heck fire. Like I said, if you come in, I'll show anybody and everybody what I do. But, so I'm glad you had a good experience. I'm really thrilled that we did not have to grind down your tooth. I'm tickled to death that you're getting along well. Thank you very, very much for spending some time and telling your story. This is really cool.
Yes, it is. I agree.
That's about, and again, huge kudos on the soup and to all those people that are listening. Just hint, hint, you know, if you want to have everything go smooth at your dental visit, you might think about making some, you know, homemade treats. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. You've set a precedent. You've put the bar, a pretty high bar, with homemade soup, but I'm sure everybody is going to shoot for it. Thank you very much.
So to all you one-uppers out there, bring it on.
You know, roast beef, anything like that. I mean, you know, just something simple. Cornish game hens, whatever you got laying around. It's
fine. Fillets.
Yeah, fillets, that's all good. Bill, buddy, hey, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. You were fabulous. Thanks again. Right. I'm glad you had a good visit, too.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to the future ones.
Ah, man. Be careful. Thanks again. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. I really enjoy it when you give me the information that you want and I get to go do research and bring you all the fun stuff. Now, to recap, we are indeed headed back to Kenya the last week of May and the first week of June. We're going to be treating the kids from the orphanages and the schools again, and bringing them backpacks, and we want to include in the backpacks a request from the teachers and from the folks at the orphanage. The kids need socks. So you can go to ddsradio.com, or you can go to kinddentistry.org and give us your donation so that we can buy socks and take them to the kids. There you have it. So until you and I have a chance to chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling